This is a podcast about the hardcore community.
Made by and for those who live authentic lives and embrace hard truths.
We archive the stories of the bands and people who make this lifestyle possible. I'm Josh Lyon.
And I'm Greg Benoit.
And this is the Hardcore Archive Podcast.
In people's news feeds, today we have on with us Last Gasp from Cleveland, Ohio. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing so good. These solo episodes sometimes are a little bit stressful without Josh. He's got all the good commentary and all the right connections, but we'll push through. And I think we're going to have a good interview tonight. So just to get started, you guys mind introducing yourselves and just kind of talking about what your role in the band is?
I'm Dave. I play guitar.
I'm Tony. I play drums.
I'm Joe. I play bass.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Thank you guys for being in. We always like to get these things like kicked off because like everybody kind of has like a superhero origin story for about how they found hardcore. And I'm just kind of curious to hear, you know, how some of you guys came to discover this.
For me, it came through punk, like the Fat Records comps. And then from there, it's just the classic, you know, read the thank yous, go check out bands that were cool. And then eventually they just kind of stumbled upon it. I can't remember what the first band was that I actually heard that was, I was like, oh, this is a little different than like what I've been listening to, but it's kind of like what I've been looking for. It was definitely on some sort of comp though.
Yeah, I think we're like basically right around the same age because those like Fat Records comps stand out in my mind as like kind of one of my entry points into hardcore.
Yeah.
Especially like I think they're like $5 at the time, which seemed like a real steal for us, like a whole CD. Mm-hmm. What about you other guys?
Me personally, I identify more as like a metal guy. So, but as
yeah,
far as
he hates hardcore.
I've definitely grown to love it. But I mean, for probably a lot of people my age too, like Hatebreed, I think it was in particular The Rise of Brutality, that album, nice and short, heavy. That and like Throwdown, and then like First Blood, and all those kind of like lean more on the metal side of hardcore anyway. So that's me personally.
Yeah, there's like two paths into this that we found from like interviewing people. It's like you were either a punk rocker who got into punk rock through like the Tony Hawk Pro Skater soundtrack, or you were like a metalhead who just kind of like didn't have like a viable metal scene in your hometown. So like hardcore was it.
Yeah, that's it. And yeah. I'm stuck here now. So. But I love it. Happy to be here. So
happy to have you.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. For me, man, I grew up on punk rock. Kind of the same way, Fat Wreck, all the skate punk stuff in the 90s. And then I heard a band, and that band was Kid Dynamite. And pretty much the rest was history. That was my segue into hardcore, and I've just been in love with it since.
Yeah, Kid Dynamite like definitely would appeal to me when I was younger because it had like kind of that faster punk influence with the, you know, the fast like punk beat. But it's like decidedly hardcore. We interviewed Shutdown recently, and that was another band that was like one of my important transition bands because it had the speed of punk rock, but it was like definitely straight up hardcore.
Yeah, I was listening to like Strike Anywhere, No Trigger, and hearing, you know, Kid Dynamite, it was the perfect segue band from where I was, what I was listening to at the time, into, you know, the more aggressive side of punk and hardcore.
So a little bit about a Last Gasp. Can you guys give us just like a brief history of Last Gasp?
We started like late 2019, early 2020. And then obviously, you know, the world shut down. We just kept practicing and writing. And then, few member changes, and then here we are today.
So you guys are based out of Cleveland. Are you all from the Cleveland area?
Yeah, I'm not originally from here, but I moved here about 13 years ago. I grew up in Michigan.
13 years is long enough to consider yourself a native, at least on this podcast. So like totally own it. So is this the current line? Is this the lineup that played? Cause my band played a show with you guys in Rochester at a like clutter shop. Back in like, I think it was October, 2022. Is this the lineup that was together for the Sanford and Son show?
Yeah, that was us.
Yeah, that was us.
All right. Okay. Awesome. I wasn't sure because I know you guys like went through a lineup change a little bit, and I wanted to make sure I had the right guys. But that show, like, well, it stands out in my mind because that was my current band's first show. But also, like, that is just such a weird ass venue with like stacks of books and like China everywhere. Like, don't fucking mosh into any of the precious heirlooms.
Yeah. That place was sick, though.
Huge thrift store. I don't think I've ever seen a thrift store that big.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've had like a couple other shows, but I was kind of hoping that would turn into like a viable DIY kind of all ages venue for Rochester. But they, I don't know, they must have been like put off by like dancing too hard or something.
Yeah,
that makes sense. There's a lot of stuff in there.
So I wanted to talk with you guys for a while about the new record. And a couple things like really caught my eye about Who Wants to Die Tonight. The first being that you guys are on War Records now, which is the same record label as Strife. How did you guys come to get paired up with War?
Back in, I think it was in 2020, he put out, it was like a comp of a demo and an EP that we had. And then Ryan just kind of kept in contact with him throughout the years. And then that's just kind of how it came to be. Yeah. It was mainly through Ryan just communicating with them.
The other thing that caught my eye about Who Wants to Die Tonight is like the wicked cool synthwave artwork. Who is responsible for making that decision?
So I think I have to take credit for the overall concept, because very early on when I joined, when we started riding in the van together, you know, different people start playing their playlists on their phones. And we kind of figured out that we all kind of have a mutual love for like synthwave and retrowave and stuff like that. So and we were talking about the record and I was like, dudes, how much would it stand out in a lineup if our hardcore album was just like this purple and pink, like wild artwork that just like when you pop it in, it's not what you expect. And like, I think there was some feedback about it, some back and forth. It wasn't, we weren't all on board at first, but I think we really liked how it turned out for sure.
Well, it gets two thumbs up from me, cause I'm like, guilty pleasure is synthwave for me as well. And it like would look right. Perfect in a lineup with like Gunship and Time Cop 1983.
Time Cop. We love Time Cop.
Yeah. Put that shit on. What other ones are I like Pilot. I don't know if you're familiar with them too.
I don't know Pilot, but Hotel Pools is one that
Hotel
we love.
Pools is really good.
I got to check them out. I don't know them.
There's so many good ones.
The Midnight.
The Midnight's great.
Yeah, that's another one.
That's one that has like vocals too, which is cool. FM84 is a good one. There's all.
We love that shit.
Yeah. It's the total vibe. Yeah. We love it.
All right. FM84. What was the other one? Hotel Pools.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Okay. So little fun fact, the Earth Crisis official account follows the official Gunship account. So I think we've got some kindred spirits over there in Earth Crisis, which is just a few miles to the east of us. I'm based out of Rochester. So interestingly enough, since I mentioned Earth Crisis, what's the deal with how many followers you guys have on Instagram? Because you guys have like more followers than Earth Crisis and like Youth of Today. Koyo also does not have as many followers as you guys. So I assume that means if you guys like play a fest with those bands, you're headlining, right?
No.
We don't really know how it happened, but we got kind of like attacked in like three or four different waves of just it's bots. They're all bots. Not all of them, but majority of those are bots minus, you know, I think probably 4,000 to 5,000 at this point.
And there's no easy way to get rid of it other than just going through one by one and deleting it. So we gave up after a while. We just said, fuck it.
I went through and I was single-handedly deleting them. And we were at 33,000 and I got down to 23,000. I deleted 10,000 worth of people. And then that day that I reached 10K, we got another like 20.
Nice. So like what kind of bots are following you? Are they like OnlyFans sex bots or are they like Russian troll propaganda bots?
Yeah, they're literally, they're not real people.
They're the weird accounts that like,
it's hard. Yeah. How do you explain that?
So like,
it's like spam accounts,
they'll like follow no one or they'll have a bunch of pictures posted from the same day.
Or it'll be like, then,
like, yeah,
it'll just be like a dude's name and then a bunch of pictures of girls.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I have like some of those, like usually they don't engage with my posts, but they're like, are my most avid liker of stories. So if I like post a story, it'll be like five people that I know liking it. And then it'll be like twice as many, like I call them thought bots. Cause they're like all like, just like the OnlyFans spam or something. Oh, but yeah, if it weren't for them, I don't know how many fans this podcast would have.
We don't know how it happened. We're just like, at this point, we're like, whatever.
And luckily it stopped. It's been like probably a couple months since the last wave of fake followers came through.
Well, now that we've mentioned that, we'll get you some more. So any day now, you'll have like more followers than Hate56.
All are welcome. Yes.
So like back to Who Wants to Die Tonight. I know you guys like had a lineup change and that kind of like affected the sound a little bit. How is this record different than the last one that you guys put out, which are both great records? I'm not making any judgment calls. But I do like the one with the synthwave artwork better.
I don't know. I didn't write the last record, so that's just mainly the main difference is that it was just a different person who wrote it. I'd say like music wise, I don't know. I think the new one's a little more straightforward. I was just playing riffs that I basically grew up on. You know, I wasn't trying to reinvent the wheel. I was just doing what worked. You know.
So I want to pick your brain about drums for a little bit because I'm a drummer myself. And I always, whenever I get the drummers on, I want to like talk gear and technique and influence. Cause I've had to sit through like a shitload of podcasts where the guitar players all talk about like a fucking pedal, like anyone's using anything other than a metal zone. So give me like a rundown of your setup and kind of just like what your main influences are.
So the past year or so, I've been playing with a five-piece setup. So two toms up, one down, snare, kick, double bass pedal. I use a lot of Pearl gear. So my shells, most of the kits you'll see me playing, if I'm not borrowing gear, it's going to be a Pearl export kit. Every drummer knows it. It's popular in the 2000s. They made thousands of these kits and they're all over the place and they're dirt cheap. So I have a couple of those that I've been playing around with. As far as cymbals, I use Meinl and just all kinds of the different, all different varieties of the different lines of theirs. I like the dual series, the dark series. And that's for cymbals. For sticks, I use Vic Firth rock sticks.
Oh, fuck, me too. Those are the best.
Yeah, they're just a classic stick. Works for what we're doing.
Yeah, they're a little more durable because they're like a little bit thicker. And but still, like I like crack like two pairs a week. So it's like worse than smoking as far as its impact on my wallet.
Yeah. If you could ask these guys, any practice space I have, there's just, it's the sawdust from the sticks and then the broken sticks themselves everywhere. I actually save all them. I want to do something with them eventually. I've seen different drummers like creating their own kind of like merch with them or like little crafty things, you know, but right now I'm just basically hoarding them. And if worse comes to worse, when the power goes out, I'll have fire.
Burn them. Burn them. Yeah, that's actually funny because Vic Firth, the actual person, Vic Firth, used to like play timpani drums in the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And my aunt also worked for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And apparently, like, all the sticks that came out crooked, he would just take home and throw in his fireplace. Like, he never bought any firewood.
Nice.
Right on. That's resourceful. Like, and it was his stuff, right?
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. And he like was apparently like annoyed at the quality of drumsticks. So he bought a rolling pin factory and converted it into a drumstick factory. But yeah. Now I think like all that's gone because I think Vic Firth is owned by Zildjian now and they like maintain the brand or whatever. But it's probably all centralized in some proper drumstick factory instead of a like converted rolling pin factory.
Yeah, probably something more proprietary.
Yeah, yeah. So, and as far as like artwork with drumsticks goes, I have beat you to it. I had like hundreds of drumsticks that I one time used like construction adhesive to glue into like a perfect massive cube of drumsticks that I had for a long time, and then I dropped it and it broke. So, make your artwork more durable than mine.
I'm gonna do them.
All right. Well, send me a picture when you make your artwork. You could also like make it into like a cool like sun Tibetan mandala. I've seen the drummers do that too.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. So now that everyone who doesn't care about drums stopped listening, let's get back to the content people actually tuned in for. Without Ryan here, it's going to be maybe a little bit tricky, but I'm always curious to know, like, what kind of lyrics, what kind of subject matter are we writing lyrics about? What are some of the like high points for this particular, the new album, with lyrics?
My take on it is just daily stresses, mainly.
Personal.
Yeah.
Definitely personal. Yeah.
This one's very a lot more personal though. I'd feel
getting older, dealing with life getting older. Yeah, that's a really hard question for us to kind of answer there for you. Unfortunately,
no. But I think
lyrics out and just go through
we'll,
them.
We'll analyze them and work through them with you.
Yeah, do a live react to the lyrics being read by Laska.
We'll tell you what we think
without Ryan. Yeah. Well, this is what he meant.
I definitely caught the like getting older vibe, which resonates with me because I'm 40 now, and like you know, I guess it's like cool to be older and still doing hardcore now. But I appreciate that like that's at least being taken up, because that like never gets, no pun intended, that never gets old, because I'm only gonna keep getting older and it's only gonna suck worse for me from year out. So you guys have toured like a fair amount. Can you like share maybe just like the top three like most notable like tour experiences, or like maybe the best shows that you guys have played with Last Gasp?
Yeah. Best shows, I'd say Greenville.
Greenville, South Carolina, right?
Yeah, that one was really good.
Really good. I mean, as far as experiences go, I have so much fun with these dudes. Like, there's been so many experiences I couldn't begin to recount.
So like, what was the lineup in Greenville?
It was
Reviler.
We're from there, us, Direct Measure, and then I feel like there was one more, but I can't remember. But it was in like, it was at some dude's house, like in his like 3-car garage. And it was on a Monday night, and we were just kind of like, all right, I guess we'll just see how this goes. And there was like, what, like 100, 150 people that showed up?
Yeah.
And it was just, it was crazy from like start to finish. They had a cookout. There was like a, like mini ramps in the back. The kids were skating like in between.
Yeah, it was like a good Charlotte music video.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, there was a half pipe in the backyard.
Yeah.
So that definitely sounds like some Southern hospitality mixed with like hardcore punk there, if they're like combining cookouts and shows. Like I'm not even really familiar with Greenville. Is that like one of those like smaller towns, or is that like a decent sized city?
It seemed pretty small. It was really cool though.
They're like downtown area. It was very nice.
Yeah.
We got dinner there the night before. And it's just a cool strip of downtown. And then where like the show is at, that's when like you're like, where, you know, like kind of like, where the fuck are we? You're going down these roads and you're seeing like the landscape and you're like, are we in the right place?
Yeah, you know? Where the show was more rural, but yeah. There is, yeah, more urban area.
There's a like really
shops
good
shops and stuff.
There's a really good scene there though. Like
very
said, it was a Monday night and like yeah, over 100 kids like showed up for the show, like in a garage.
That's wild. I gotta respect the like smaller city, you know, rural town hardcore punk scenes, because sometimes those scenes are like more viable than the ones in the bigger cities, because like what the fuck else are kids gonna do other than like tip cows and hang out?
I grew up in a scene like that. It was like a really small town, so it kind of was like, I mean, there was like a core group of like all the same kids, but I mean they all came out for every single show, to where bands would travel, you know, 4 hours to come play because they knew that it was going to be a good show and, you know, they're going to do well.
Yeah, I had an experience like that in York, Pennsylvania, where it was just, you know, that's like kind of a rinky-dink town. I mean, you guys are from Ohio. You probably know Pennsylvania a little bit. But, you know, the kids were like super sincere and you could tell that there's just like wasn't a whole lot of opportunities for like community or a sense of purpose, and that like really drove things. I wanted to ask you guys, because I remember, I think there was like a tour maybe, I don't know, within the last year that you guys did. And I think the date was like maybe in Florida. But like I read like some comments about like there was like a show that I think you guys were on where there was like some bikers that like started like messing up people. I remember seeing that and thinking like, oh shit, last gasp, we played with them. Oh fuck, I hope those guys are still alive. So at least we have proof of life for like three of you. Like was that you guys or am I combining memories?
Arguably some crazy shit might have happened while we were playing, but yeah, I'll leave it at that. It was
okay.
We won't get too detailed in that. It was nobody that we were involved with. It just something might have happened while we were playing. So.
Gotcha. No, you got to be guarded. I definitely don't want to get on any list or like on anyone's radar or anything.
Yeah, but that was us.
The show was crazy, though. That was
a great show.
I don't know what the cap was of that room, but it was small. And
it was
the
smallest room on the tour.
Yeah, sure. And it was they couldn't fit any more people in the room, and yeah, I mean, and once again, that was on like what, like a Wednesday or something.
Yeah,
like none of our shows on this tour were really like on a weekend, and every single one was. This was the one that we went down through Florida and then up to. What, Missouri?
Yeah.
Well,
shout out Jester for
Jester
on that show with us.
Jester
from Daytona Beach. Yeah, Daytona Beach.
Incredible band.
Yeah, Jester with a Z.
All right, with a Z. Okay, I'm not familiar with them, but the picture you're painting for me, I'm imagining Juggalos right now.
I think the logo is clown-esque. Yeah, but, I mean, so is the name. So whatever.
But they're not. There's nothing funny about it.
No, there's nothing funny about it.
So in this episode, I managed to talk shit so far about like bikers and juggalos, and we'll see if I can get any other groups that are notorious for being good sports about people making fun of them.
Yeah.
All right. So I gotta ask, because I'm always on the hunt for stories like this. I want to do an episode someday. It's just nothing but stories like this. You guys have any paranormal stories from tour or punk or hardcore shows? Any ghosts, UFOs, Sasquatches?
No.
From hardcore shows?
I'll accept any paranormal story, even if it's not related to hardcore.
The building that we practice in is haunted, just from little things that have happened here and there. It's a super old building. It's the it used to be the Yellow Cab like headquarters for Cleveland before cabs went away because of Uber. I think, like, or is there another cab?
No, I think they really pretty have much cabs died when Uber came a thing.
But there's just weird shit with doors kind of locking behind us when no one's locked it. You know, like, Ryan will get to practice, and I was the last one to come through the door, and I didn't touch it. and then the door's locked and he can't get in and just weird shit like that. And
the spider.
Yeah, the spider.
There was a dead spider right, where every practice it was somewhere else, like a little bit.
Apparently, the house I grew up in was haunted. I don't know. I feel like I might have seen some things like out of the corner of my eye, but my younger sister had like more experiences with it. Her best friend said that one time they were playing hide and seek, and her best friend was like hiding in a closet and heard like people whispering behind her.
Oh, but, fuck that.
Yeah. And then I guess my parents moved out of that house. And then like the last week, the house is set up where you walk in and it was like an entryway and then the living room and then stairs that went up to the second floor. My mom was sitting in the living room, like reading a book, and she heard someone walk down the stairs and then realized that she was the only person who was home. And then was kind of like, oh shit. Like, yeah, I guess all the things that like my sister was saying over there were like actually true.
Huh.
So, I never experienced anything crazy though.
See, I worked in a haunted library that was like certified haunted by like that TV show, Ghost Hunters. Like they came and did an episode while I was like working there. And it was like cool to see my like job on TV, but like all these people had all these like fucking awesome stories. I never got any cool stories. It was all just like, you know, boring shit for me, like homeless guys and stuff, or like just normal library shit, but missed out on that. And then I grew up in like 150-year-old like farmhouse. And the closest thing to a ghost was like this creepy stain on the wall that looked like an old lady. So no ghost stories for me, but I'm always like interested to hear like some crazy shit.
But you have any ghosts?
Really? No. I like spooky stuff though. Like we just had Halloween. My wife and I, we were going through, we set a day and had a different movie each night. So we have a whole horror movie list and we did a horrible job staying on schedule. And we're still finishing that list. We watched Hereditary recently, Midsommar. What else? I love horror movies.
Yeah, all those A24s are pretty good. Hereditary is like definitely one of the like craziest horror movies I've seen. The Witch, I like The Witch. That's a good one. I think that's an A24. Yeah, all right. So you guys mentioned Cleveland, and I want to get a little bit into like the state of the current Cleveland scene. You know, every time we have a band on, we always kind of want to get the rundown of, you know, like what's going on in the local scene, other bands that people should check out, or just, you know, just the health of the scene. Cleveland definitely has like a long history with hardcore. How are things going right now in Cleveland?
It's really healthy.
Yeah.
Really healthy. As healthy as a scene, you know, you'd hope your scene could be, you know, with kids coming in, bands being formed, there's a lot going on. So I'd say it's definitely best probably it's been in a couple of years, you know, because scenes come and they go, you know, the cycle of things, but it's,
I think it's a place where a band could come through on tour and the show would be good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's ever since like the pandemic lifted, things in like Western New York, like Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse have really been like popping off like crazy. Especially in like Buffalo and Syracuse, they've got like really young scenes and a lot of younger kids who are putting a lot of effort and time into, you know, booking touring bands and making DIY spaces. So I guess it's good to hear that Cleveland is doing well, have a little bit of Rust Belt solidarity since Rochester kind of falls into that, you know, Buffalo, Cleveland, Detroit kind of lineup there. Have you guys noticed that like since the pandemic lifted, more young kids coming out?
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely what happened.
Yeah.
Like once everything lifted, it just seemed like it exploded really fast with a bunch of bands coming up and just, yeah, like I said, younger kids starting bands, you know, for me, it's just cause you're getting older and that's how it's always been, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose you're right. Like one thing I noticed too, there were like a lot of bands post-pandemic doing reunions, like older bands with guys like our age. So there's like this real nice blend of like younger kids who have the energy and the time to really commit to like being in a touring band, and then like older guys who can kind of like show people the way and keep things stable and kind of, you know, let cooler heads prevail. So before we like start wrapping up the pre-planned questions, I just wanted to hear just any notable hardcore stories, experiences. What are the best shows each of you guys have been to? Like maybe top show each of you've been to, if you have one in particular.
Top show.
I'm gonna go way back to where
I don't really go to
show. When I was still living in Michigan, me and my roommates, we took a van, drove 16 hours to Boston for Have Heart's last show back in 2009. And that, yeah, because the lineup of that was crazy. Because like the bands that played like earlier, it was like No Tolerance played. Like saw No Tolerance back then. I'm trying to think who else was on it. Rival Mob was one of the openers for that show. Yeah, it was crazy. It was fun too. I mean, we literally drove like through the night, left at 5 p.m. We got there at like 1 p.m. the next day.
Have Heart puts on a great show, and I had like the worst FOMO ever when I saw that reunion show that they did where there was like 10,000 kids at it.
Oh yeah, I was there.
I'm jealous because that looked like a real like moment to behold, that like a non-fest show would have that many kids. And
it's kind of crazy standing there and then you look back and you're just like, oh shit, there's a lot of people here.
And I like, you know, Pat, everything Pat's about. I think he's like a good ambassador for hardcore, for like people that are just getting into it or people who aren't really a part of the community, if they want to like check it out to get an idea of what hardcore is like. Any other notable shows, Joe and Tony?
I'm just drawing a blank.
Well, I mean,
I really am.
Well, as far as like hardcore shows, Joe and I plan another hardcore band. I don't know. We don't need to plug it, but, we did play with Ringworm in Akron, in the basement of a bar, and that was a sold out show.
That was like one of the first shows after COVID.
Yeah, that was like a COVID comeback show, basically.
Was that in Cleveland?
No, it was in Akron.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah. No, you said that. I wasn't paying attention, but yeah. Okay. I figure like Ringworm probably has a lot of clout anywhere in Ohio, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're local legends for sure.
Yeah, and I think especially that one, just because people not going to shows.
Yeah.
When we're in a small space like that, the pack that I was sold out was crazy.
Yeah, we had Ringworm and Integrity up here last year in Rochester, and both of those bands are big hits, you know, with especially like some of the older guys in the Rochester scene. You know, you can't go wrong with Integrity. Yeah, I'll just give a shout out or a plug. And Tony, you probably are familiar with some of these bands if you're into like the more metal end of hardcore, but there was an awesome tour that just came through Syracuse with Belmora, X Nomad X. But Belmora is like one of the bands I'm really into right now. They sound kind of like Prayer for Cleansing. And it's like so awesome to see kind of that style of like hardcore metal hybrid coming back into popularity. So people should definitely check that out if you haven't checked it out.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of like old Darkest Hour too.
Yeah.
Like before Sadist Nation, like Darkest Hour, like reminds me of that a lot.
Yeah, Undying is another band that kind of reminiscent of. They're like, I don't know. I think I probably like Undying the best of those three bands. But definitely need that kind of stuff again. And it's like, I don't know. I guess it's right because like 90s are like really cool right now, like in hardcore in general, you know. But like in, you know, I go around and I see young kids wearing like JNCO jeans again. So I know the 90s are back. No judgment or anything. All right, before we wrap it up, are there any shout outs you guys have or any other any people you need to give some props to?
Yeah, we got a
Direct Measure.
Shout out Direct Measure.
Shout out Bitter Truth.
Bitter Truth.
Shout out CDO's Chiari.
CDO's Chiari. Salt. Doubt It.
Doubt It, yes.
And that's all off the top.
Suicide Machines.
Yeah.
Maybe by the time this comes out, we'll have played with Suicide Machines at the House of Blues December 1st.
We'll have this out by then. Suicide Machines are another good one that pairs really well with Kid Dynamite.
They were one of my favorites growing up.
If we did this podcast like 15 years ago, we'd have like, because I mentioned there's like two avenues into hardcore punk and then metal, but like 15 years ago there was like a ska way into hardcore where it's like, oh yeah, I listened to the Suicide Machines and like Voodoo Glow Skulls or like some of those bands. Against All Authority, I think Against All Authority actually had members that were in hardcore bands. I can't really remember, but no judgment. I love the Boss Tones before Dickie Barrett got all crazy, and you know, Suicide Machines up there too.
Yeah.
We're actually playing with them December 1st.
That's wild. That's a bucket list show. You guys, is that I see you guys are playing with Sawchuck 2 coming up.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay. All right, so we won't shout that out because I definitely won't have this edited and posted by tomorrow. But Sawchuck was another band that came through Rochester recently and like totally blew me away. They were phenomenal.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a good time tomorrow.
All right, man. So where can people go find you on social media? I assume, you know, you got your awesome synthwave artwork on all the streaming platforms, which I'm well aware of. So if you haven't already checked out Who Wants to Die Tonight, it sounds just like Gunship and Time Cop 1983. You will not be disappointed. But where can folks go find you on social media?
At last.gasp.
At last Instagram, stop. Yep, right? Yep. And that's where we're most active. I don't think we have anything else.
I think we have a Twitter, but I don't think we're on it or use it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called X now, and it's like the worst thing in the fucking world.
Yeah.
Bandcamp and Insta mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll let you guys have the final word. Any last words?
Wow. I don't know. Party on.
No, you got me on this one now.
All right.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
All right, man. We'll wish Ryan a speedy recovery from his illness too.
Yeah. Thankfully it's not COVID, so he can still play tomorrow. But
all right, good. All right. Well, your secret's safe with me. Wink wink, it's not COVID. We'll wish Ryan a speedy recovery from his illness too.
Yeah, thankfully it's not COVID, so he can still play tomorrow. But
all right, good. All right, well, your secret's safe with me. Wink, wink. It's not COVID.
The Hardcore Archive Podcast is Josh Lyons and Greg Benoit with creative support from Rob Antonucci.
This podcast is a product of the Rochester Hardcore community. Theme song provided by Stand Fast.
Visit Hardcore Archive Podcast on Linktree to listen to past episodes.
Follow Hardcore Archive Podcast and Enterprise Hardcore Podcast on Instagram for updates.
If you have an idea for an episode or would like to have your band's music featured during the closing credits, please contact us at hardcorearchivepodcast@gmail.com.